I will praise him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Give him glory, all ye people, for his blood can wash away each stain. Though the way seems straight and narrow, all I claimed was swept away. My ambitions, plans, and wishes at my feet in ashes lay. I will praise him, I will praise him, praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Give him glory, all ye people, for his blood can wash away each stain. Then God's fire upon the altar of my heart was set aflame. I shall never cease to praise him. Glory, glory to his name. I will praise him. I will praise him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Give him glory, all ye people, for his blood can wash away each stain. Blessed be the name of Jesus. I'm so glad he took me in. He's forgiven my transgressions. He has cleansed my heart from sin. I will praise him. I will praise him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Give him glory, all ye people, for his blood can wash away each stain. Glory, glory to the Father. Glory, glory to the Son. Glory, glory to the Spirit. Glory to the three in one. I will praise him. I will praise him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Give him glory, all ye people, for his blood can wash away each stain. Amen. Good seeing Brother Jake. Could you open us up with a word of prayer? Amen. Our second song is song number 314, More Love to Thee. Song number 314, More Love to Thee. On the first, more love to Thee, O Christ, more love to Thee. Hear Thou the prayer I make on bended knee. This is my earnest plea, more love, O Christ, to Thee, more love to Thee. Want earthly joy I crave, sought peace and rest. Now Thee alone I seek, give what is best. This all my prayer shall be, more love, O Christ, to Thee, more love to Thee. Let sorrow do its work, send grief and pain. Sweet are Thy messengers, sweet their refrain. When they can sing with me, more love, O Christ, to Thee, more more love to thee, more love to thee on the last. Then shall my latest breath whisper thy praise. This be the parting cry my heart shall raise. This still its prayer shall be, more love, O Christ, to thee, more love to thee, more love to thee. Amen. Good scene. Welcome to Sure Foundation Baptist Church. Our verse of the week is 1 Chronicles 16, verse number 11, which says, "Seek the Lord and his strength, seek his face continually." That is again 1 Chronicles 16, verse number 11. We're here at our Sunday evening service. This morning I talked about railing, and I do not know what Brother Jason's preaching on tonight, but I'm sure it'll be great as always. And then on Wednesday, we're going to be having our Wednesday evening Bible study, which will be 1 Corinthians chapter 10, part number 3. And then for as far as a praise report, I don't think we had any salvations out soul winning, no? Yeah, I don't think so. The soul winning, yeah, I don't think so. But nonetheless, people got warned, and we're doing what we're commanded to do anyways, right? It reminds me, this is kind of off topic about this, but there was a couple months ago, I knocked on this guy's door who was like, "Oh, yeah, I'm a pastor." He's like, "I'm a pastor of this church right there." His house was right next to the church. And he was like, "Yeah, hey, God bless you for going out. We tried this, and it just didn't work, so we stopped doing it." I'm like, "What do you mean it doesn't work? Hey, soul winning still does work. If we're going out and preach the gospel, we are always going to get people saved eventually. Might be a little scarce sometimes, right? But hey, we're commanded not even necessarily to get people saved. We're commanded to preach the gospel, though. Getting people saved is up to them, right? They have to choose to believe the gospel. So even if we went our whole lives and never got anybody, we did what God commanded us. So don't let that discourage you, especially because we have 20 salvations so far in this year. So praise God for that as well. But as far as different upcoming events, on March 6th, we're going to have our WSU soul-winning marathon event. And I know, like I said, Brother Noah, I think Miss Mai is coming from the Yakima plant, so that'll be fun. We're going to meet at that Chipotle at 10:45 a.m. I don't think we're going to eat there in the morning, and we actually might change this up a little bit now because I only did the Chipotle as a little... this is what I want to get for lunch afterwards, but I wanted this to be like a placeholder because I didn't know where to park or anything like that. And by the way, for the parking, I'll let you guys know this. If you're coming up there, you got to pay before you park. Okay, we learned this the hard way. Brother Ryan got a ticket on his car, but they showed him some grace. Okay, so they're like, "We got a one-time wave that we'll do for you." So we got blessed for that. But yeah, pay before you park. That's the moral of the story. And I'll put that actual parking address out there when I look it up on the maps. But that'll be on March 6th, and then on March 8th, we have our kids' choir practice for Easter that'll be starting after the morning services. March 27th and March 29th, we have the church anniversary, so my dad's going to come up and preach for us on that Friday, I believe, and there's more details to come about that. And the same thing for April 18th, we're going to have there's going to be more details for that as well, but we're for sure having the Nez Perce Soul Winning Marathon in Orfino, Idaho, with Brother David on the 18th. So I'm looking forward to that. He's super excited about it too, and he's like, not even just like, we're not even just doing one. He's like, "We can hit this whole area in the years to come." So I'm like, "Amen, let's go then." Yeah. Not even just an event. Hey, we're going to make it a habit to get out there. It's what we want to see in this world nowadays, amen. And then lastly, we have our kids' memory verse, which is Psalms 107, verse number 1. So if you can tell this to my wife, kids, you'll get some candy. It is, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." I think that's pretty much all that we have, so we'll get into the prayer requests, and then after that, we'll do our third song. Let's pray. Dear Father God, thank you so much for this wonderful day. Thank you so much for everything.
the offering will be song number 353, which is From Every Stormy Wind. Song number 353, From Every Stormy Wind. Song 353, let's sing it together on the first.
From every stormy wind that blows, from every swelling tide of woes, there is a calm, a sure retreat. 'Tis found beneath the mercy seat. There is a place where Jesus sheds the oil of gladness on our heads, a place than all besides more sweet. It is the blood-bought mercy seat. There is a scene where spirits blend, where friend holds fellowship with friend, though sundered far by faith they meet. Around one common mercy seat.
On the last,
there on eagle's wings we soar, and sin and sense molest no more, and then comes down our souls to greet. When glory crowns the mercy seat.
Amen. Good singing. Brother Jason, could you bless the offering for us?
Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day, Lord. I thank you for everything you've done for us. I pray that you bless the gift and deliver us to give God to you. Your Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Welcome back, everybody. If you could go ahead and take your Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 16, that'll be our text this evening. And as always, here at Sure Foundation Baptist Church, we read the entire chapter before the preaching. Romans 16, the Bible reads, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church which is at Centria, that you receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you. For she hath been a succorer of many, and of myself also. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Salute my well-beloved Epaphroditus, who is the first fruits of Achaia unto Christ. Greet Mary, who bestowed much labor on us. Salute Adronicus and Junia, my kinsmen, and my fellow prisoners who are of note among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me. Greet Amplius, my beloved in the Lord. Salute Urbani, our helper in Christ, and Stachys, my beloved. Salute Apelles, approved in Christ. Salute them which are of Aristobulus's household. Salute Herodian, my kinsman. Greet them that be of the household of Narcissus, which are in the Lord. Salute Tryphena and Tryphosa, who labor in the Lord. Salute the beloved Persis. which labored much in the Lord. Salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine. Salute Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermas, Patrobas, Hermes, and the brethren which are with them. Salute Philologus, and Junia, Nereus, and his sister, and Olympus, and all the saints which are with them. Salute one another with an holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they are that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. For your obedience is come abroad unto all men. I am glad, therefore, on your behalf. But yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Timotheus, my workfellow, and Lucius, and Jason, and Sosipater, my kinsmen, salute you. I, Tertius, who wrote this epistle, salute you in the Lord. Gaius, mine host, and of the whole church saluteth you. Erastus, the chamberlain of the city, saluteth you. And Cordus, a brother. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel, and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith, to God only wise be glory through Christ, through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. Brother Kyle, could you pray for the preaching?
Thank you, Lord, for the gift of your word. Please fill our brother with the Spirit to preach us. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Amen. All right, we're here in Romans chapter number 16. And if you look down at verse number 3 where the Bible reads, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Jesus Christ, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Salute my well-beloved Epaphras, who is the first fruits of Achaia unto Christ. And the original title of this evening's sermon was, of course, it was going to be Brother Paul in Light of the Bible. But since that title doesn't actually have anything to do with what I'm going to be preaching tonight, the real title of the sermon that I decided to preach is going to be Greet Ye One Another, or Greet the Brethren. And I don't know if you noticed that in this chapter here, a multitude of times, I counted 13 times, I think my count is off, maybe it's 14 times, it uses either the word greet or salute. And basically, it's telling the church, you know, that's there in Rome, hey, you need to greet one another or salute one another. And so, you know, this is a large portion of the chapter of Romans 16 is just dedicated to saying, hey, greet this person and greet this person and greet this person and greet this person. And so, you know, I don't think that there's anything in the Bible that's incidental, coincidental, or accidental. Right, so all of this is here in the Bible for one reason or another, and so I think that the Bible is, you know, one of the things that we can get from this chapter is that we should greet one another. And so, you know, this evening I'm going to be basically just preaching on kind of that subject and being friendly. And this is something that you know, this sermon is going to be for everybody, right? And you know, as Pastor Shelley says, like, if you think the sermon is about you, it is, okay? When you think the sermon is about you, that's because it is. And this is, again, this is something that is for everyone, including myself. You know, greeting one another is something that everybody can improve on and everybody can get better on. And basically just have good interpersonal skills with our brothers and sisters in Christ is something that everybody can always improve on, okay? And so, but we can see here a multitude of times it says, you know, greet Mary who bestowed much labor unto us. You know, salute Andraikas, and Genia, my kinsmen, my fellow prisoner who are of note among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me, greet Amphimelus, my beloved Lord. And, you know, it just kind of goes on and on and on. We're not going to go through the whole list, especially since I can't pronounce most of these names anyway. You know, Brother Ryan did a great job of reading the whole chapter for us. But just over and over again, it's, hey, you know, greet this person and greet that person and salute this person and salute that person. And then at the end of the section here, it says, in verse number 16, it says, salute one another with an holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. And then if you go ahead and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 16, I'm going to read for you 1 Peter 5, verse number 14, where it says, greet ye one another with a kiss of charity. Peace be with you all that are in the Christ, that are in Christ Jesus. Amen. And, you know, of course, here it says, greet ye one another with a kiss of charity. And, you know, the holy kiss and the kiss of charity, of course, we know that this is a cultural thing, right? You know, in that time and in that area of the world, people would greet one another with, you know, with a kiss or whatever. And you know, I don't know all the details or anything about how that worked, but I'm pretty sure it was on the cheek, yeah. You know. And then this actually still goes on around the world.
Right.
You know, apparently it even happens in Mexico. And you know, earlier or at the end of the year last year, I took a trip to Mexico to see my wife's family. And it was the first time I've actually been out of the country because Vancouver doesn't count. Vancouver Island doesn't count. But, you know, that's the first time I've been to Mexico. And we were throwing a birthday party for James. And, you know, there was a lady I'd never seen in my life. I never met her in my life. She comes up to me. She shakes my hand and like pulls me in and launches her cheek at me. I'm like, I don't even know what to do. I just like, you know, I just gave her a kiss on the cheek. And, you know, but that's in some places of the world. That's just, that's how it works, you know. And I had no clue that they did that in Mexico at all. But apparently they do. So anyway, again, that's a cultural thing, you know. And if some guy is, you know, trying to pull that trick on me, I'm not having it. All right. You know, it's just, no, it's just, you know, in America, we have something else. We have a better substitute for that. Okay. It's called the handshake. No, we don't punch people in the face, Ryan. You can do that after they attempt to kiss you. Okay. But we don't do that, you know, in America, and holy kiss. And again, replace that with the good old fashioned handshake. Cause we're, you know, this is 2026 America, and I prefer handshakes. You know, we're sticking with handshakes. We're not going with the holy kiss. You know, the only person, in my opinion, you should be greeting with a holy kiss is your wife or your husband. So, but anyway, I mean, but we understand the point of this whole thing is that the Bible is commanding that we should greet one another, right? I mean, when you show up, you know, at church, you know, you see somebody, you stick out your hand, you say, hey, good morning, how you doing, right? This is just, you know, this is, what do you call it? It's a courtesy. It's kind of a common courtesy that, you know, we're showing the one another that we appreciate each other, that you're acknowledging their presence. And it's just, it's a common courtesy, right? And of course, you know, again, you know, why am I preaching on it? Well, you know, for one reason, it's in the Bible. And if it's in the Bible, you know, we should preach on whatever is in the Bible, amen? Yeah. But also, you know, this is just something that is going to help our church out. Because, you know, one time, several years ago, me and my wife, we visited this church, you know, and when we first came in, nobody really greeted us the way I thought that we should have been greeted. It was a little bit awkward. And, you know, eventually, you know, the pastor showed up and he recognized us and everything. And we're like, hey, how you doing? And we had a conversation with him. And then other people showed up later and they were very nice and they greeted us. But it was, you know, like when we first showed up, I'm like, where's the greeting? It was just kind of a little bit awkward. And it didn't make us feel super welcome, you know. Again, you know, later people were nice to us and later people were kind to us. But, you know, first impressions do make a big difference with people, right? And so, you know, you could imagine, like, if somebody comes to visit our church, you know, it's very important that we go to greet them and we make sure that they feel welcome. You know, of course, you know, you don't want to overdo it where, you know, the whole church is like, smothering them. It's like a big old dog pile and they're like, oh, I need some air, you know. But, you know, people should be greeted them and making them feel welcome and be like, hey, you know, there's coffee here. And I do believe that we do a fairly good job of this, but we can always improve. But the other thing is that, the way that we're treating a guest that's like a first-time visitor, they're showing up for the first time, you know, we should treat our longtime members just as good, right?
Yeah.
I mean, just because somebody's new, that, you know, are they gonna, should they have just way better treatment than everybody else that's been coming here for a long time? I don't think so. You know, I think we should have the kind of the same attitude towards everybody else where, you know, when people show up, we should be greeting them. We should be saying, hey, how you doing? And one thing that I, you know, this is just kind of a personal thing that I like to do. And again, you know, I'm preaching to everybody. I'm preaching to myself included. So you're like, well, one time you didn't do that. You know, that's because I'm sinful and I screw up, right? But one thing that I try to do is, you know, whenever a brother, you know, when they show up for the first time or I see them for the first time of the day, I prefer to stand up and shake their hand, mm-hmm. right? Why is that? Well, that's just kind of a show of respect.
Yeah.
Right? You know, if you, like, let's say your grandpa walked into a room, right? Your grandpa showed up at the house or something and they, you know, walked into the room. Would you not stand up and greet them?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, and I would say that's, you know, a pretty important thing to do. Why? Because, well, you know, he's your, you know, even your dad, right? Or, you know, because, like, I think of the grandpa because, like, you know, he's maybe somebody you don't see as often as your dad, right? And at least in my case, that's how it's always been. And when you see him, it's kind of a, you know, to me, it's kind of a big deal, right? So, you know, if my grandpa walks into the room, I'm definitely going to be standing up and shaking his hand and, you know, and giving him a hug. Although, you know, you don't have to give your brothers and sisters in Christ, you know. It's you know, especially for the men, you know, the hug is a little bit much, you know. It's, you know, we got the handshake going. The handshake is good, right? You know, with family members, it is a little bit different, right? Obviously, we understand these things. But, you know, I bring up the grandpa example because it's like, okay, you know, I feel like it would be very important for me to stand up to greet my grandpa. So, you know, I feel as though I should treat all my other brothers and sisters in Christ with that same level of respect, right? And so, you know, standing up, you know, whenever a brother walks in, I always try to stand up and extend the hand of fellowship, you know. And so, you know, that's just something I personally do. You know, I'm not saying if you don't stand up, you know, there's something wrong with you, you're disrespectful, or, you know, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that that's something that I personally do that I feel, you know, is something that kind of shows like, hey, you know, I appreciate you being here. I appreciate your presence and I'm acknowledging you. And so, you know, I'm just kind of throwing that out there as something that I do personally. And, you know, so I always greet, you know, I'm not necessarily shaking the hands of every single lady that comes into the church. I feel like that's the other lady's job to greet them, right? And so all the brethren, you know, I'm standing up and shaking their hands and making sure like, hey, I'm greeting them, right? And so, you know, again, you know, we don't have to go like overboard with these things. But it's something that we should be thinking about. I think it's something that we should be conscious about, right? Being making other people feel welcome, acknowledging their presence and being like, hey, you know, it's good to see you. You know, I'm glad to see you, brother. And, you know, I'm glad to see you, sister. You know, it makes people feel warm. It makes people feel welcome when they show up to church, right? And so, and of course, we have multiple commands. Hey, greet ye one another, right? And we have, you know, a half of a chapter of just person after person after person, you know, him commanding, hey, greet this person. You know, it's like, okay, well, maybe those people, like, weren't being greeted and they, like, wrote a complaint to Paul, right? And then he's like, all right, so, you know, Amphipolis and Urbane and Apuleius and Herodian, I can't pronounce any of these names, Rufus, you know, all these guys, like, wrote a letter to Paul. They're like, hey, you know, they're not being friendly or whatever. I don't know. That probably wasn't what happened at all. But, you know, I could imagine, right? And so, you know, again, you know, these things are in the Bible for a reason. And so, and this is something you think, well, this is really simple. This is really basic. Yeah, it is. But you know what? You know, basic things need to be preached from the Bible as well, you know? But go ahead and turn to Proverbs chapter number 18. And I'm just going to take it by faith that this was for me. Good. I got the confirmation after I took the first sip, so it was truly a step of faith. Okay. All right, so Proverbs chapter number 18. So, you know, obviously, you know, greeting one another, greeting people, that's an interpersonal skill that we all should work on, that we should all should sharpen, that we should all get better at. But also, you know, just being friendly in general is something that I believe everybody can work on. And it says in Proverbs chapter number 18, verse number 24, it says, "A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother." And so the Bible here is telling us that, hey, look, if you want to have friendship, if you want to have friends, then you yourself, you know, must show himself friendly. That meaning you have to be the one that's friendly to other people. If you want to, if you expect to be able to be friends with other people, you need to be friendly to them, right? You shouldn't expect everybody else in the world to come and be friendly to you before you're friendly to them, right? And so, because, you know, if everybody had the attitude of, well, I'll be friends with somebody, you know, who's friendly with me, who wants to be friends with me. Because if they're not friend, you know, if they're not, I can't talk. If they're not friendly first, then I'm not going to show them that, you know, that kindness or niceness or friendliness towards them. You know, they gotta, you know, show it to me first, right? If everybody had that attitude, then, you know, it wouldn't really work out very well, because then nobody would be friends with anybody, right? And so everybody should have the attitude of, well, I'm going to be the friendly one. I'm going to show friendliness first to other people. And then, you know, if everybody has that attitude, then everybody's just being friendly with everybody. Everybody's just, you know, being good friends, you know. And, you know, it just works out better that way. Yeah. Amen? Because, yeah. You know, then, but the way it works, though, in reality, not everybody has this attitude. And so, you know, there's going to be somebody that's kind of reaches out first and is friendly first, which is the way that it works. But, you know, we can apply this principle to each, you know, everybody should be thinking about themselves in the sermon. All right. You know, you shouldn't be thinking about, well, this person or, well, that person, you know, this person did this or that person did that, or this person wasn't friendly and they, you know, they should be friendly to me. Everybody should just be applying it to themselves and be like, hey, have I been friendly to other people? Have I been friendly to this individual? Have I been friendly to that individual? And applying it to themselves. Amen. Being, you know, working on, you know, how friendly are you? Are you greeting people the way that you would want to be greeted? You know, are you, you know, treating others as the way that you would want to be treated? Amen. And in Proverbs 27, verse number 17, it says, "Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friends." Now, this is a pretty famous verse. But, you know, when you come to church, one of the big, you know, major components of going to church is simply having fellowship, you know, with your brothers and sisters in Christ. And, you know, that's one of my favorite parts about coming to church, is just fellowshipping with the other people that are here, you know, before the service, after the service. You know, we're chatting it up about all kinds of different things. And, you know, and excuse me, what are we doing when that happens? Well, we're sharpening one another. You know, throughout the week, you know, there's all kinds of different things that happen during the week, right? And, you know, when you come to church and you're fellowshipping with the brethren, it's actually very refreshing, right? When you get done talking with the brethren, at least I do, I always feel like refreshed.
Yeah.
Like I really enjoyed hanging out with the brethren, talking with the brethren. And, you know, we talk about all kinds of different things,
yeah.
You know, and we're getting sharp, you know, we're sharpening, you know, our intellect. We're sharpening our knowledge about how evil the Jews are all the time. But, I mean, we're sharpening our you know, our Bible knowledge. You know, oftentimes we're talking about different passages of Scripture and what does this mean and what does that mean. You know, after the service earlier, you know, we're kind of talking about, you know, what does that passage mean? I believe it's in 1 Timothy about, you know, evil beasts, slow bellies, you know, the Cretans being always liars. Like, what is going on with that passage of Scripture? Which, you know, to me, that's always kind of been a weird, confusing passage of Scripture that I don't think I've always understood properly. But, you know, we were, you know, sitting around talking about it. And what does that do? That sharpens, you know, my knowledge of that. Hey, that passage of Scripture, you know, I feel like maybe I know a little bit more than I did before about it. You know, so it's not as obscure or not as confusing per se. And so, you know, but we're sharpening each other, you know, in many multitudes of ways. I mean, obviously there's Bible knowledge, but there's also, you know, there's a lot of knowledge, you know, collectively in this room about other subjects as well.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, I was planning on asking Brother Ryan, you know, a refresher on hanging cabinets because, you know, I was trying to help my brother hang a cabinet last night. And I'm thinking, like, I don't know if this is the way we're supposed to do it. I need to ask Brother Ryan, you know, so maybe he's going to sharpen me up here a little bit later. But again, you know, there's many different areas in which we can sharpen each other. But also, you know, you're not just getting like smarter or whatever. We're also lifting each other up.
Yeah.
Right? Because there's lots of issues and problems that that we have and that we go through throughout the week. And, you know, and it's great to be able to come to church. Like if you're having some kind of an issue, you can just be like, you know, you can just kind of, you know, for one, you can just kind of vent. Right? You can be like, hey, you know, I'm having this issue. And let me tell you, you know, venting is something that's kind of important, right? Being able to tell somebody about an issue that you're having, you know, a lot of times us guys, you know, we'll have like certain frustrations at work, and you know, it feels good to just be able to tell somebody about it. You know, just be like, hey, you know, this issue comes up sometimes, and then this happened, it's like you know, it like when it's like really hot or really cold. You know, what do we talk about a lot of times when we come to church? Us guys, we talk about like, oh yeah, you know, it's so hot. It was so hot today. It was 110 degrees. I almost got heat stroke. And then somebody else is like, yeah, well, I was on a roof and it was 130 and I got two heat strokes, you know. And, you know, it's like, it feels good though to be able to just kind of vent about those things, right? And, you know, it's just for some reason, psychologically, It like relieves a little bit of pressure,
yeah.
Right? You could be like, you know, hey, you know, this thing happened, and I was like, ah, you know, and so what is that? Well, that's sharpening one another once again, and so there's all kinds of different benefits that we get from fellowshipping with one another, and you know, there's probably psychological benefits, there's probably like, you know, physical benefits, you know, because God made man to be in fellowship with other human beings. Right. And so, you know, being friendly and, you know, fellowshipping one with another and sharpening each other is something that is very, very important, I believe. And so, you know, having being a friendly person, being somebody that's like approachable, you know, and trying to be somebody that's easy to talk to. Right. Because in life, you know, we've all experienced this. There's some people that are easy to talk to, but then there's other people that are harder to talk to. And, you know, we as individuals, we should all individually try to make ourselves as easy to talk to as possible, right? We should want our brothers and sisters of Christ to walk away with a conversation with us having enjoyed the conversation. Like, I'm looking forward to talking to so-and-so again, you know, because they're friendly and they're easy to talk to. Amen. That's another part of sharpening one another. Is being somebody, trying to be somebody that's easy to talk to, right? And, you know, this is, again, this is something that we can all work on. You know, sometimes, you know, I struggle with wanting to, like, dominate the conversation and, oh, I always got to get my point. But it's something that it's like, okay, well, maybe I can let other people get their points in, let other people talk about what they wanted to talk about, right? It's about, you know, being somebody that other people want and look forward to talking to, right? Which is just an interpersonal skill that everybody can benefit from. Go ahead and turn to Hebrews chapter number 10. Hebrews chapter number 10. Hebrews chapter number 10. Look at verse number 24. Then these, of course, are very famous verses in Hebrews chapter number 10. But the Bible reads, it says, "Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching." And of course, you know, in our Baptist circles, we focus a lot of times on verse number 25 where it says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, which of course is a great verse about, you know, church attendance. But I kind of wanted to focus on verse number 24 there where it says, "Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works," right? And so that's a large part of the reason why, you know, you would even come to church is so that you can provoke one another to love and to good works, right? And so, again, that's kind of that interpersonal relationships that we're having, you know, one with another, is that when you show up to church, we should be considering others, right? We should be considering, hey, how is this person doing? How is that person doing? Instead of showing up to church with kind of a self-centered focus or self-centered attitude, we should show up to be like, hey, how can we benefit, you know, somebody else? How can I be a blessing to somebody else? How can I provoke somebody else to love and to good works, instead of just being like, hey, you know, my name's Jimmy, I'll take what you give me, and being like, hey, you know, I'm just going to get whatever they're serving at church, and they better be nice to me, and they better be serving all my needs. We should have an attitude of, hey, how can I consider somebody else? How can I consider another person and be a blessing to them, right? And this is, you know, this is just a large part of the Christian life. It's just, how can I be a blessing to somebody else, right? This is even why we go soul winning, because we're considering, like, how can I bless somebody else, right? By showing them how to go to heaven. That's the best blessing that you could ever give somebody, is to just show them how to go to heaven. But beyond that, you know, how can I be a blessing to, you know, somebody else in the church, you know, or, you know, just other people in life in general. But of course, you know, Hebrews 10:24 is applying directly to blessing other people in church. How can I think about the needs of somebody else in church? How can I be a blessing to them instead of just thinking about, you know, our own needs and our own wants and desires? And again, you know, this is something that I think probably everybody struggles with. You know, I certainly struggle with it. You know, it's you know, thinking about others is not something that comes naturally. It's not something that we naturally want to do. We naturally always want to just be kind of thinking about ourselves and how can I benefit myself out of this situation? How can I benefit myself in this conversation? How can I joy myself the most at work, or at church, I should say? And you know, it's really easy to fall into. And it's very difficult to you know, to catch yourself and to be like, hey, I need to start thinking about other people. But the more you do it, the easier it gets, though, right? And so, you know, we need to be able to put ourselves out there, you know, come out, like Brother Raymond was saying, you got to come out of your shell. But you put one word on there. Introvert shell, yes. The introvert hermit shell. You got to come out of there, right, sometimes and you know, be able to engage with other people and, you know, be able to see if you can be a blessing to them, right? Because that's, you know, that's one of the biggest parts, you know, of church, is being a blessing to other people and provoking other people to love and to good works. Go ahead and turn to 1 Peter chapter number 4. 1 Peter chapter number 4. So we want to greet one another, and of course that's basically the first step, you know, in being friendly is just greeting one another. That's step one. You know, step two is, okay, well, how do I continue the conversation, or how do I be a blessing to this person? You know, does this person want to talk to me? You know, because some, you know, sometimes people don't want to be talked to. Amen. I mean, sometimes if you're going through, you know, something in life, sometimes people, you know, they just don't want to be talked to, right? And so, you know, sometimes you got to be able to read body language, or read, you know, people's faces or whatever, and realize that, you know, maybe they don't want to talk to anybody, right? Because that sometimes that happens. And so, or maybe somebody's just had a bad day, or they're just in a bad mood or something, and they don't want to talk to somebody. And maybe the blessing for them will be like, okay, well, I'm going to leave them alone, because obviously they wish to not talk to anybody at this time. You know, but it's just, okay, how can I be a blessing, you know, to this person, right? But here in 1 Peter chapter number 4, look at verse number 8, it says, "And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging, even as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." And notice there, verse number 9, it says, use hospitality one toward another. And, you know, whenever I think of the word hospitality, I think of basically like serving people when you invite them to your house, right? That's being hospitable, you know, having people over to your house, you know, serving them food and drinks and, you know, entertaining them basically. That's kind of what I think of when I think of hospitality. And, you know, this is something that I think is applicable because, like, you know, obviously we invite people over to different people's houses from time to time. You know, and it says here, it says without grudging. Because, you know, a lot of times people can have this attitude of like, well, you know, well, they didn't invite me here or they didn't invite me there or we haven't gone to their house in a long time. Like, how come we don't have a, why don't we have a party at so-and-so's house? Or why don't we have a game night at so-and-so's house, right? And, but the Bible's saying here, it says without grudging. And so, you know, if you're going to have people over, you know, you should have them over regardless of, you know, whatever they've, if they've had you over in a long time or if they've ever had you over, right? And so, you know, because sometimes people are going to have this kind of a grudging attitude about, you know, well, when I went over to their house, they didn't do this and this and this and this. You know, people could get this attitude of begrudgment with being hospitable. You know, and again, this kind of applies not just to having people over to your house, which I think is a good application, but just, you know, being hospitable at church or out at soul winning or wherever, you know, being hospitable, it's like, okay, you know, I should treat people with the same attitude as if, you know, like when we're at church, when somebody comes in the door, it's like, okay, well, I'm going to treat them like an honored guest, right? Or, you know, people show up to soul winning. Why don't I treat them as an honored guest? Treat them as if I invited them into my home. And, you know, obviously there's differences, right? Because if you invite somebody in your home, you're probably going to offer them food and drink. You know, when you show up at church or you show up at soul winning or whatever, you're not, you know, it's like, hey, you want to, you know, although that could happen, you could be like, hey, you want a water? You know, we always appreciate it, especially when it's really hot out, you know, when we're soul winning, when somebody offers us water, right? You know, they're being hospitable. And, you know, we generally, oftentimes we'll take them up on the offer. But again, you know, we should have an attitude of treating people with hospitality wherever they are, right? They show up at church, treat them as an honored guest. They show up at soul winning, treat them as an honored guest. They show up at your house, even better time to treat them as an honored guest, right? And so, you know, we should have an attitude of hospitality towards everybody in the church, right? Being like, hey, how can I serve you today? How can I help you out? Is there anything I can do for you? And this is, you know, if everybody has this attitude, you know, church becomes a wonderful place that people really want to come to. And, you know, again, I always love coming to church. You know, I don't think this is like a huge blaring problem in our church. But again, it's just something that we can all always work on. We can all always get better at being hospitable and treating people well, treating them like an honored guest, right? Let's see here. Go ahead and turn to Ecclesiastes chapter number 4. Ecclesiastes chapter number 4. And I do apologize. This sermon's evening is going to be a little bit shorter, apparently. But we're here in Ecclesiastes chapter number 4, verse number 9. You know, apparently it has to be a shorter sermon because for some reason I just can't pronounce. My lips are like malfunctioning this evening. I don't know what it is, but every once in a while this happens where it's like, it's just something wrong with my jaw. Or I don't know. It is what it is. But anyways, we're here in Ecclesiastes chapter number 4, verse number 9. Maybe I just need to drink more water. I don't know. Ecclesiastes chapter number 4, look at verse number 9. It says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not easily broken. And the Bible here is just emphasizing the importance of having fellowship with other people. You know, again, you can apply, I can't even think of the word right now. See, this is why the sermon has to be short, everybody. Sorry. One interpretation of this verse, or one way to apply this verse, is obviously in marriage. You know, how can, if, you know, if you're lying with your wife, you know, you're not going to be cold, right? Because she's really warm. You just snuggle up to her. You won't be cold anymore. It's really important on these cold winter nights. You know, this record warm winter that we've had here in Spokane. And especially if she opens the window in the middle of the night, what's going on? You just got to snuggle up, and you'll be warm. So it's, you know, it's you know, that's important there, right? So you have your marriage, or your husband or wife, but you know, you can apply it in multiple ways. Though, I mean, if you think about it, Jesus specifically said, "Hey, I'm going to send you out two by two." Right? He didn't send people out by themselves. I mean, who would want to go soul winning by themselves? I mean, I don't, you know, personally, that would not be very fun to just start knocking doors just by yourself, right? So look, there's a reason why Jesus said, hey, you guys are going to go out two by two. Why? Because, you know, if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not easily broken. So every once in a while, you know, we end up with a three-headed monster where you got three people, you know. I don't know if that's a, you know, necessarily the best thing for soul winning, because then you have three jacked dudes at the door, you know, like, hey, you want to come to church? We got you surrounded. You know, it's like, you know, maybe it can be a little bit intimidating. But, you know, I think two is like the perfect amount for soul winning, because, you know, you're fellowshipping the whole time, you know, and it gives you, it just gives you courage.
Yeah.
No, it gives you that boldness to be able to knock on somebody's door, you know, and be like, hey, you know, we're inviting people to church. You know, and every once in a while, you know, something will happen or something's going on, and, you know, your partner's like way over here. But you're still like, we're inviting people to church, you know. So it just kind of gives you that courage and that encouragement to boldly preach the gospel to people, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, having, you know, the Christian life is not a one-man sport, right? You know, I used to wrestle back in the day, and you know, wrestling is kind of famous for being it's a one-man sport.
Yeah.
Like, it's you out there. It's you versus the other guy. And if you lost, it's because of you. You know, if you won, it's because of you, right? And it, you know, it's kind of a what do you call it? It's an intimidating thing, you know, because like you'll be out there, especially if you get into the finals of a tournament or whatever. You know, you're out there in front of all these people, and it's just you against another guy, and you know it can be, you know, an intense thing, right? But the Christian life, though, it's not necessarily a single player sport. Christianity is a team sport. Right? I mean, we come to church together, right?
Yeah.
We go out soul winning together. We sing praises to the Lord together, right? We do all these things together in fellowship with other people. Why? Because, you know, fellowship is a major part of the Christian life. And, you know, it's extraordinarily hard, actually, I would submit nigh impossible, to serve God properly by yourself,
yeah.
Right? And so, you know, having interpersonal relationship with other believers in Christ is something that is very important, and is something that we should cultivate. Because, you know, you don't want to find yourself in a situation where it's like, hey, I'm kind of alone here. You know, you don't want to find yourself in a situation like that. You want to be able to say, hey, I've got so-and-so, you know, brother so-and-so is here, brother so-and-so is there. You know, I know that they've got my back. And again, you know, back in Proverbs 18:24, it says, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And so, you know, we should work on developing friendships to where we're like, hey, I know that if something goes wrong, you know, so-and-so is going to be there to help me out. And because, you know, I've got two brothers, you know, I'm pretty close to them, especially, you know, pretty close to my older brother. But, you know, there could be a situation where it's like, hey, you know, my brother, he's not necessarily going to do, you know, I need friend so-and-so. You know, I need somebody from church to come and help me out with this issue. Because, you know, maybe they know more Bible, or maybe they'll just understand the situation more, or, you know, whatever the situation, right? And so, again, you know, Christianity is not a single player sport. It's a team sport.
Yeah.
And, you know, we should work on building our teamwork, right? Building our team relationships. And, you know, to build up those friendships, to be able to, that'll enable us to, you know, serve God even more. Yeah. You know, if you look forward, right, to a soul winning marathon because you know you're going to see so-and-so there, so-and-so there, that, you know, that could even motivate you to even go to a certain, soul winning marathon. Where, you know, if you don't really care for anybody, you know, that's going, it's like, that's less motivating, right? And, you know, again, this isn't something that's like a major problem in our church, but it's just something that we should work on. We should, you know, work on being friendly one toward another, you know, starting out with greeting one another, showing one another that, you know, that respect, like, hey, you know, I'm acknowledging you with a holy handshake, right? You know, for the ladies, the holy hug or whatever. But, you know, it starts with that, and then it just goes from there. You know, for the rest of the time, being somebody that is easy to talk to, being somebody that is friendly with other people, that is working on, you know, how can I help other people out, and developing and cultivating those friendships with other people, you know, by looking for ways to serve their needs and be friendly to them. And so, you know, again, Christianity, it's a team sport. And, you know, we'll be having team building exercises right here after service when the preaching concludes and the singing concludes. So we'll be looking forward to that. Let's go ahead and bow our heads and have a word of prayer. All right, dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day, Lord. I thank you for everything you've done for us, Lord. We thank you for this church that we can have Christian relationships with other people that are like-minded and want to serve you, Lord. And we pray that you'd please help us all to build those relationships, be able to greet people and be friendly with people and sharpen each other, Lord. In dear Jesus' name, amen.
Zero, throw out the lifeline. Song number 370, throw out the lifeline. Song 370, let's sing together on the first. Throw out the lifeline across the dark way. There is a brother whom someone should save. Somebody's brother, oh, who then will dare to throw out the lifeline, his peril to share? Throw out the lifeline, throw out the lifeline. Someone is drifting away. Throw out the lifeline, throw out the lifeline. Someone is sinking today. Throw out the lifeline with hand quick and strong. Why do ye tarry? Why linger so long? See, he is sinking. Oh, hasten today and throw out the lifeboat. Away then, away. Throw out the lifeline, throw out the lifeline. Someone is drifting away. Throw out the lifeline, throw out the lifeline. Someone is sinking today. Throw out the lifeline to danger, fraud man, sinking in anguish where you've never been. Winds of temptation and billows of woe will soon hurl them out where the dark waters flow. Throw out the lifeline, throw out the lifeline. Someone is drifting away. Throw out the lifeline, throw out the lifeline. Someone is sinking today on the last. Soon will the season of rescue be o'er. Soon will they drift to eternity's shore. Haste then, my brother, no time to delay, but throw out the lifeline and save them today. Throw out the lifeline, throw out the lifeline. Someone is drifting away.
Throw out the lifeline, throw out the lifeline. Someone is sinking today.
Amen. Good scene. Brother Ryan, would you close the word of prayer?
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day.